as our kids were growing up, one of the things that we talked about year after year after year around Christmas was the desire to put up Christmas lights on the outside of the house. And so every year, as we would talk about this, I would start the process of trying to figure it out. You know, what kind of lights did you need to use? What kind of lights did you need to get? What kind of clips did you need to put them on the gutters and the roof and stuff like that? How many lights do you need? What kind of extension cords do you have to use? And for people who are OCD like I am, how do you run the extension cord where it's not really seen very well? and how do you run the extension cord and start and stop the lights at the end of the house so you're not wrapping halfway around the house or something like that? And so I would think through this every year, and I would never figure out a solution for it. And I would even go to the store. I'd go to Menards or Walmart or something like that, and I'd walk into the seasonal section of the store, you know, where they have all the Christmas lights and all the clips and all that, and I would walk in and I would go, you wouldn't even know where to start because they're so, it was just so overwhelming. And so that was one of the situations where I experienced what I call Christmas light paralysis. I didn't know what to do, so I didn't do anything, and I never figured out. So a couple of years ago, with the help of a friend of mine, we figured out how to put Christmas lights up on the outside of our house. And do you have the picture of it in there? So there you go. So I'm kind of pleased with that. Because not only was it done, but this will not be one of the things that my kids will be a disappointed with dad thing. You know, one of those things that, well, you know, we always wanted you to put up Christmas lights on the outside of the house, but you never did. And that was, we were always disappointed that you never figured out Christmas lights on the outside of the house. And if I had the picture from this morning, you would see that on the front of the big garage door is a snowman. Denise likes snowmen. And we've got magnets that go on the door, and it makes the shape of a snowman and all that, and that's pretty cool. But anyway, so Christmas lights were first used as Christmas decorations in modern Germany when people started bringing candles into their home to help decorate Christmas trees as a symbol of Jesus being the light of the world. And then sometime in the 20th century, people started using electric string lights to decorate Christmas trees. And then sometime after that, they started using string lights, electric string lights, to decorate buildings and streets and stuff like that. And then eventually they started using electric string Christmas lights to decorate Christmas trees. Now, I suspect, and I think this is probably a reasonably safe assumption on my part, but I suspect that somewhere along the way, the use of Christmas lights became more about the decoration than they were a symbol of Jesus being the light of the world. I think just an assumption that I make. And just so you know, anytime you ever see me with orange Gatorade, you know that I've got the sinus stuff going on because that's about the only time I drink it. So anyway, so somewhere along the way, it became more about the decoration and less about Jesus. There are people that put up Christmas lights all over their homes and stuff like that, that they know Christmas has something to do with some baby named Jesus that was born about 2,000 years ago somewhere, but that's really probably about all they know. They have no recollection or no understanding that Jesus would be the light of the world and what that would mean and where it would come from and the implications of that for life, for people like us and all that. And so if Christmas lights were first used as a symbol of Jesus being the light of the world, what's that really mean? Where does it come from? Jesus' early follower, a guy by the name of John, he was an eyewitness to most of the things around Jesus' ministry, the 3 years that Jesus traveled throughout the region in his public ministry. John would have been an eyewitness to most of that. And as he got well along in years, he had told these stories about Jesus over and over and over. And so he finally decided to write them down and to preserve them for people like us so that we would have the stories about Jesus going through history. And so when he writes about Jesus, so Matthew, a couple of other authors, Matthew and Luke, they start with the narrative about Jesus' birth. Matthew starts with his heritage, which we looked at last week, and Luke starts with the historical story surrounding Jesus' birth. John doesn't start with Jesus' birth. John actually rewinds further than just Jesus' birth to provide more context to who Jesus is and what he came to do. And when he writes, he makes a connection to Jesus and Jesus being the light of the world. And here's what he writes. He says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." When John writes the Word, that comes from the Greek word logos, and he is specifically referencing Jesus. He is referencing Jesus in relationship to how God spoke into creation and how God spoke into the world through the birth of Jesus. So when he calls Jesus the Word, that's the context. And the phrase, "in the beginning," that's the same phrase that's used in the very, very first book of the Bible in the Genesis account of creation, "in the beginning." And when John writes, "in the beginning, the Word already existed," he rewinds all the way back to the creation account and says that this baby born on the first Christmas was at creation. He already existed. If Jesus already existed in the beginning, if Jesus already existed before creation, that means that Jesus himself is not a created being. He said the Word was with God. So when all of creation took place, Jesus was with God. When the animals were created, Jesus was with God. When the plants were created, Jesus was with God. When God breathed life into humankind in a very unique and a very special way, Jesus was with him. And it says, "and the Word was God." Now, there with this baby that's born, and this remains, and we'll probably hit on this a couple times, but there remains a bit of a mystery about this aspect of Jesus' birth. Jesus was God, but took on human form in the birth of this baby born some 2,000 years ago that John says was the light of the world. So in the beginning, the Word already existed. He was there before, and he was a part of it, and all that. And then John goes on to say, "the Word gave life to everything that was created." The Word. So Jesus gave life. Jesus gave life in a physical sense. Again, when the plants were created, Jesus was there. Jesus is how the plants got life. Jesus is how the animals got life. Jesus is how we get life. But it's not for us just a physical life it's an eternal life because Jesus was in the beginning, was already existed, and all that. And so there's a context beyond just this life. But it is Jesus, the Word. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And then John makes another connection. And his life brought light to everyone. Now, a couple things that are fascinating about this is John says that his life, so Jesus' life, brought light to everyone. Most of us have been in a dark room, and light is very, very important when you're in darkness, right? Right? When things are dark, what do you need? You need light. You know, when we go into a room and it's dark in there, we flip on a light switch so we can have light. When you go outside at night and it's going to be dark, you take a flashlight. Well, not anymore. Now we just take our phones and hit the flashlight app on our phones, right? But you want something that illuminates, something that gives light, something that breaks up the darkness. You know, when we go for a drive at night, we turn on the headlights in our cars to be able to see where we're going. And John says that Jesus provides that light. When he talks about to everyone, the Jewish people expected a Messiah, one that would be sent by God, and they believed that this Messiah would be sent exclusively to the Jewish people. John says that Jesus gives life to everyone, not just the Jewish people, not just the people of the first century, but Jesus gives life to, or gives light, brought light to everyone. So then, he says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So in other words, the darkness can never extinguish the light. When he talks about darkness, he's talking about a world that is dark and broken because of sin. And how darkness and sin has broken relationship with God. And he says, the light shines in the darkness. let's go back to the dark room again. When you walk in the dark room and you can't see, you need light. And the light shines in the darkness. Darkness is merely the absence of light. And so when you have light, there is no darkness. Now, there's an old, which means most of you will remember it. Sorry, couldn't pass that one up this morning. Children's church song that's called "This Little Light of Mine," and what are you not going to do with this little light of mine? You're not going to hide it under a bushel. Okay, so when you have, and you're singing the song in your head now, aren't you? when you have the light and you hide it under a bushel, you not actually extinguish the light, you've just hidden the light. Now, if you leave it under the bushel long enough, and depending on what kind of light it is and all of that, it can be extinguished in the absence of oxygen. I mean, fire has to have oxygen, and so a candle, and when it doesn't, but that's not really the point of the whole story. The point of the story is that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish the light. No matter how much people try to resist, no matter how much people try to reject, no matter how much people try to discredit or dismiss Jesus, Jesus is the light of the world. He gave life to everything. He brought light to everyone, and the light shines in the darkness. So Jesus shines in the darkness of a world that has been broken by sin, and the world that has been broken by sin can never extinguish the light of Jesus. This baby, this little baby who was born a little over 2,000 years ago, is the light of the world that can never be extinguished. So John then introduces us to another individual around the story of the first Christmas. He introduces us to a guy named John the Baptist, who was a cousin of Jesus. And he says, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light, so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. So the purpose of John the Baptist was not to be the light, but to prepare the way for the light, to tell people about the light, to tell them that the light was coming, so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. And then he says, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. The true light, not a make-believe, not a feel-good type of thing, but the true light that can overcome the darkness of the world. He says he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. When the Jewish people thought of a Messiah, they thought of a Jewish individual who would be sent by God to redeem and rescue the nation of Israel. Jesus was born as a Jewish person, had the perfect heritage to be the Messiah. But the Jewish people didn't recognize him. There are all tons of Jewish prophecies about the Messiah, about things that the Messiah would be and things that the Messiah would do. And Jesus fulfilled every single one of the prophecies, but the people didn't recognize him. The Jewish religious leaders, they were so focused on their own belief. They had their minds so made up that no matter what Jesus would have done, no matter what Jesus would have said, they simply had made up their minds that he was not the Messiah and would never be the Messiah. And they wound up in full rejection of Jesus. I'm glad that that's just a first century Jewish religious leader thing. And that everybody today recognizes Jesus for who he is. And that everybody today recognizes Jesus for what he's done. And that everybody today embraces Jesus for being the very Son of God sent to be born a little over 2,000 years ago. So the world didn't recognize him. It says, so the Word became human. Again, there's a little bit of mystery there. The Word was with God, the Word was God, but then the Word became human. So the nature of God that Jesus is, he didn't give up, but instead he took on the traits of human beings to experience the things that human beings experience. When Jesus was on earth, he ate, he slept, he breathed, he did all the things that human beings did. It says, and made his home among us. One of the other translations says, and dwelt among us. The literal translation of the Greek words that are used there can say, and tabernacled among us. When John uses this Greek word that says, and tabernacled among us, he would have taken his readers back to the time when the nation of Israel had spent in the wilderness and had a tabernacle that they set up along the way. The tabernacle was a temporary dwelling place, a temporary place where they believed God dwelt as they traveled through the wilderness. And so when John says the Word became human and tabernacled among us, what he's telling us is that Jesus' time as a human being was a temporary situation for a very specific purpose. And then he says he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. The word unfailing means unfailing. and John tells us that Jesus, as the light of the world, his love is unfailing. And he is faithful. He will never do wrong by us. He will never do wrong by his character. He will never do wrong by who he is because of his unfailing love and his faithfulness. Unfailing means not failing, not giving way, not falling short of expectation, completely dependable. And Jesus is the light of the world. This little baby who was born 2,000 years ago is unfailing. Completely dependable. Unfailing also means inexhaustible and endless. So Jesus is full of inexhaustible and endless love. Inexhaustible and endless faithfulness. So Christmas lights were first used as a symbol of Jesus being the light of the world. Somewhere along the way, they became more about the decoration than the symbol of Jesus as the light of the world. One of the cool things about lights is if as ships go in the harbor, in and out of a harbor, they're directed by a lighthouse, a light from a lighthouse. And when that light shines, it directs them where they should go, but it also directs them away from danger. Now, imagine if a light from a lighthouse was being emitted from a lighthouse that wasn't in the right spot or wasn't aimed in the proper direction. It would guide them away from where they need to be and directly into harm's way. As the light of the world, Jesus points us to where we need to go, and he points us away from harm's way. for a number of years, and I don't know if they do it anymore or not, but the neighborhood that my parents used to live in before they moved a few years ago, every year they would do a luminary through the neighborhood. The homeowners association would provide each home with a number of the little like lunch bags with sand in the bottom and a candle that would go inside. And so people would line the end of their yard along the street with the bags, and then they'd light the candles at night. And it was a pretty cool display because as you went out and you looked down the street, the luminary lit the path of the street. And so you could clearly see the path that was laid out because of the light that shone in the darkness. Without the luminary, the street was dark. But with the luminary, you could see where you were supposed to go and where the path was. And I believe that just as a luminary like that would light the path of the road, that Jesus, as the light of the world, lights the path for our lives. Not just our lives, but into right relationship with God. For all those who would place their trust in Jesus, this little baby born a little over 2,000 years ago, who came as the light to give, that brought light to everyone, including people like me, and including people like you, and including anyone else who needs to know the message of a God full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And if you think about it, that's like one of the coolest Christmas gifts ever. Let me pray for you as we wrap up this morning. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together to celebrate Christmas, to recognize Jesus for who he is and for what he came to do, and to have him shed light into our lives and into our world, a light that the darkness can never extinguish. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So next Sunday, we have our Christmas Eve program at 10 o'clock. There are light refreshments beforehand, right? And Amanda, what did we decide? Did we do? We did a preview video, right? Yeah. So we'll roll the preview video for our Christmas Eve program. Light snacks beforehand, come enjoy that time, and we'll have a great Christmas Eve together. How about that?